Harry, how we all getting on? This is episode 24, 2 and 4, can you believe it, of the Alcohol Uncensored podcast. It is somewhere that hopefully you've been listening to a few of these by now, so you get the gist, but we tend to introduce a fabulous guest and have a fabulous conversation about all the upsides and benefits of what happens when you stop drinking. I'm Ian, I am 54 years old, and I stopped drinking over 6 years ago on the 29th of May 2020. And you've heard that plenty, so you don't need to hear too much from me. I want to quickly say hello to Kelly and ask her how she's getting on and how your week's been, Kelly.
Ian, I'm good. So I'm Kelly, alcoholic, and I am 280 days sober. And before I say how my week is, Ian, you look absolutely fantastic. I take it you enjoyed your breakaway. You can tell that you've been on holiday.
Time. I had a great time, thank you very much. Yeah, we were in Rhodes for a week, and we went away as a family, and there was my kids are now 22 and 19, so they're not kids anymore, but they still want to come away with us, which is lovely, and I see that as very much a positive. And yeah, we had a really chilled week in Rhodes, or on Rhodes. I say chilled, I ran. I'm not saying this is a brag, this is an example of where my life's at these days. So I ran with my wife early morning 4 times. I must have swam up and down the sort of the harbour where the beach where we're staying at least once, probably twice a day. And I hired a bike one morning and got up and went did a 40-mile bike ride up in the hills as well. So nice. All part of me training for the Beaver challenge.
Yeah. Doesn't surprise me, Ian.
Yeah. But apart from that, I sat on my backside all the time and ate baklava
You do look refreshed. I don't know if it's because you've got a little bit of colour about your cheeks.
Yeah, thank you. I don't feel refreshed, Kelly. I feel if I'm being perfectly honest with you. Because as happens, when you come back from holiday, you've got loads to catch up on. And then I'm off on some bike ride thing, like a charity bike ride, which I'm taking part in on Thursday morning.
Right.
So I've got 2 days out of the office again this week. So I'm a bit sort of up against it, trying to sort of cram all my work in so I can go away yet again. So, yeah, but all good, Kelly.
Well, I had a few days away as well. I was away with one community member, but the other two friends that were community members and over the influence. Chris flew over from New York, and Donna, who's a current member in Alcohol Uncensored, flew up from London. And we had a lovely few days in Skye. It was the weather was pants, but we laughed we just laughed so much. And you know, I just kept thinking, and we all did as well. It's like we removed one thing from our life all those years ago and joined a community, and we've made friends for life. It's amazing. So yeah, I've had a lovely few days away. It's been great.
Yeah, and we keep banging about this. We turn the same story around quite a lot, don't we, Kelly? But the truth of it is, you've made two great mates there, one of whom lives in New York and sort of flies over specially to sort of visit you and Donna, because you've become such good pals. And, you know, you've made a really good friend in Donna. And, like, that's just a really small example of all the close friendships that we get from sort of, from what happened when we stopped drinking. And
exactly, you know, yeah. Move on to life, and it just opens up so many paths and so many friendships. And it's that taking the plunge to join a community, because it is nerve-wracking. Like, it is to think, God, I don't want to join a community, or I'm not on the lookout for any friends. But most people weren't when they joined the community, and then before you know it, you've got groups of friends. So, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, happy days. Happy days. Let's introduce our guest, because she's sat there smiling away with a fan behind her, keeping her cool. Which makes you realise she's not in the UK. We have with us today, we have Sandra Parker, who lives near Murcia in Spain, if I've got that right, Sandra.
You have,
and we all met each other, we all know each other again from OTI.
Yeah.
And Sandra is coming up to 5 years alcohol-free in September of this year.
September 6th. Amazing how we remember the exact date.
Yes. Well, tell me this, Sandra. Do you know the day you stopped, or the day you was that the last day of your drink, or was that the first day of you not drinking? Because I don't know the answer to my own personal one anymore now. I just know the 29th of May, but it could have been the last day I had a drink, or it could have been the first day I was sober, and I've got no idea.
Yeah, I've I think I mentioned before, I looked at my journals before I came on, so just to remind myself. But yeah, the last day was the 5th of September, so from the 6th of September 2021, so 5 years coming up. Yeah, that was my last drink. And I had tried beforehand a number of times.
Oh, great. Well, Sandra, we want to talk about them. You've very kindly got in touch with Kelly to offer a book that you wrote, which we were going to talk about today because it's available free. So for anyone who's sat there going, oh God, here, someone else wants to sell another book, that's not what we're here for, is it? Far from it. We're giving this one away, and you don't even have to sort of pay for any postage because it's available as a PDF, but we'll come on to all of that. But just to give people a bit of background on you, Sandra, so like I say, you're coming up to 5 years alcohol-free. You're living in Spain. If you don't mind just telling people a bit about your backstory first. So where were you before the 6th of September, 5 years ago? What was your drinking story like, if you like, and what got you to where you are now, if that makes sense?
I didn't drink until I was about 26. So I was never interested in drinking. I was working in a job that was quite busy, and we had lots of social things. And I remember people telling me, particularly a couple of people telling me I was boring, because I didn't drink. Oh, you're so boring, you're no fun. And I think eventually you just, oh, okay, I'll have a drink. And that's how I started, and I was 26. I wasn't, you know, a young'un. And then I just drank for the next 40 years. So it's a very good career. I didn't reach the real depths of it, but I knew I was over drinking, particularly on social events. And I just would go out and have a bottle of wine, without even realizing that you'd had a bottle of wine. And then it was almost like you'd go to work the next day in a fog, and it just became the norm. And I tried on and off over the years, and I'd do, I don't know, Dry January or Sober October or Lent. And then the day after Lent, then I'd start again. So I think for me, I knew in the back of my mind that I was probably drinking too much, but it wasn't affecting my life so badly that I had to stop. And then my husband died in 2009. Right. God, I've given him 10 years life more than he had. 2009. I drank a lot after that. Yeah. And then I moved to Spain in 2012. And over here in the expat community, you drink, you meet everybody, you sit on, I'm right by the beach. You go down for a sundowner, everyone's drinking. And there are a lot of Brits here now. There's less now. There are a lot of Brits. And you met new friends through alcohol. And it became a real, real habit. But I enjoyed it, you know. But it got to the stage, I think, where I was just getting aware that it was really taking hold of me. And I probably could drink every night of the week. I never drank during the day, generally. But I could drink every night. And because I was on my own, I could hide it. You know, nobody knew how much I was drinking. It was just me. So I knew it wasn't healthy. So I tried over, I tried on and off. I gave up, as I say, for Lent, or 30 days here, 40 days there. And then COVID came. And with COVID, I remember it was Friday the 13th of March, and we were on the beach because we'd heard from the government, things are closing for a couple of weeks. So we all ran down to the bar. We all got, you know, hammered and said, we'll see you in 2 weeks. And of course that didn't happen. It was very, very strict here. You weren't allowed out. And then I realized after about 3 weeks, I had drank a bottle of wine every day, every night for 3 weeks at the end of that. And then we were hearing that this is going to be longer than we anticipated. So I thought, God, I'll be dead if I keep on drinking like this. So it was during COVID that I stopped drinking. And it was 1 year no beer. I saw an advert. I think they were doing 28 days free. And I signed up and I did the 28 days. So that would be 2020. And then I went up to 90 days and I did 90 days. And it was fairly simple. It wasn't too difficult. And then on day 91, I started drinking again because I'd proven I can do it. Yeah. So, but 1 year no beer definitely helped me, got me started listening to Andy Ramage and his videos. It was a really good kickstart for me.
Yeah. I think we in 1 year and it'll be around the same sort of time, because I obviously know you with OTI.
Yeah, because then
I
I was
remember you
moving
from
over.
OTI.
Yeah,
Yeah.
it was OTI.
Yeah, but
And
you must have
so,
been, but that 2020, that's when I was in 1 year and OBE as well, so it must probably,
and I thought that I thought it was a great idea. And as I say, it was a free offer that they gave, and I just thought it was very good. And then, so it was the 90 days. And then I can't remember how I found OTI. But I remember liking Shaz, and I liked her approach, and she was bubbly and fun. And I remember going on the first video calls, the Zoom calls, and I was so nervous. Like you were saying earlier, Kelly, it was really, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do, and I'm really scared. And Shaz was such a good host at that time. She really was very inclusive and very supportive, and without a doubt, that helped me. And when I was looking through my notes, and one of the things I'd written down was stay close to the community. Because it definitely helped. You'd get, you wouldn't be invited places, or you were the only one not drinking, and I felt very alone sometimes. And without doubt, the Zoom calls helped, definitely.
I imagine moving to Spain and presume, did you move over on your own as well? Yeah, I mean, that's a big step, isn't it? And I suppose, and like you said, when you're trying to ingratiate yourself in a new community, everybody's drinking, especially in an expat community like that. It must be really difficult to, I can see why you sort of, drank for a while in those environments and then,
You want to fit in. You want to fit in. And particularly where I live, it's very Spanish. So you do congregate with people that perhaps even in England you would have nothing in common with. So the thing we had in common was we drank together. And we sat on the beach, and we had, and some of them are still good friends, some of them have, left. But no, and alcohol is that lubrication. That helps it just flow easily, and if you're shy or quiet, you just sit a drink and you don't even, realize. So it definitely helped, definitely helped. So when I stopped, it was a real, oh, you're not, a couple of comments were, sure, we've all had them. You must have had a really bad problem, to have to want to stop. It's like, no, I just got bored. In the end, I got bored with drinking and the feeling the day after, and as you get older as well, the waste of a day, where you just feel awful all day, and I just got tired of it. I just got bored. But it was difficult. That part of it, the social side, was definitely difficult, and that's where OTI def really helped, really helped.
I think you start to see your own mortality as well, don't you,
Yeah.
as you're getting older, and you kind of see what it's doing to you now. It's, and you see other people struggling with it and think, crikey, I don't want to be like them. I don't want to be like that. It's
And I did read some of William Porter's book. I have to be honest, I didn't finish all of it because it's too many words for me. But some of the things about the chemical side of it and what happened to the addiction, where you're chasing that first glass, it really, hit me. So yeah, without and Annie Grace, I found that the alcohol experiment, I did that for 30 days, and I found that extremely good as well. Right.
So you mentioned before that you did a lot of journaling and you found the journaling really helpful. Can you tell us a bit about, because it's something we talk about a lot within the community, the benefits of journaling. It's not something I tend to, well, I fill some thought of journaling in on my car map, but it's a few lines here and there, but sounds like you're a little bit more detailed than that. Could you just
I do less now, but when I started, it was recommended that you do that. And so I was just looking through the books, just the Lay Five booklets. And every day when I would watch a video, either with Annie Grace, primarily with Annie Grace, because I liked her approach, they would ask you questions. So what is it you get out of drinking, and what do you think would happen if you stopped, and why did you start? And it asks some really difficult questions. And you do, I think you don't, you go into yourself for a while to understand, why do I need to drink? I mean, the number of people who say to me, well, I don't need to drink, so why don't you stop? Oh, well, no, but I don't need to drink. But actually, if you pare it back, it is that social lubricant, but you're hiding something. Maybe I was lonely, maybe I felt I was boring, or maybe I felt it gave me confidence. And just writing it all down, and just rereading some of it very quickly before we came on, was like, wow, You know, I found it extremely useful. I do it now and again now, not so much, but during that, probably the first, I think I've probably got 2 years of it, of journaling, nearly every day. But following the guidance that came from the people ahead of me, you know, the One Year Near Beers and the Annie Grace, it was very good.
This is personal, and we can edit it out if you say no, Sandra, but do you mind sharing some of the sort of thoughts that you were having then that are so different to what kind of who you are now, if you know what I mean, just to sort of demonstrate how beneficial how the journey's been for you? Yeah.
Actually, these are the journals, pretty colours.
You're organised, yeah.
Well, and this was 2020, the first one, so that's when I first started. And then I, One Year No Beer, for example, it would say, what have I learned so far? Actually, One Year, give yourself a break if you slip up. That was the other thing, is if you slip up, give yourself a break. And once I got to that September, I didn't slip up once.
Yeah.
The one thing I did do, because I started in September, I went to bed very early. I went to bed like 8 o'clock with a book, so I wouldn't be tempted to have a glass of wine. And the dog was going, really? You're going to bed at 8 o'clock? But it helped. It really helped break that habit that of just picking up the glass. And then towards the end, the last one I think was 2022, it would just ask questions. That was more, I think the one that was particularly good was when I was following, so One Year No Beer, don't give up, keep going. It doesn't matter what other people say. Surfing the urge, feeling the crave to drink, don't ignore or push it away, acknowledge it and understand. It's not unusual.
But you found it really useful just to get it down in writing and just get it out of your head. Yeah, that's the thing, isn't it?
And because my job was creating and writing courses and coaching, I'm used to, I suppose, writing. But for me, definitely just writing it and knowing that nobody had to see it. That it was just me, and I do like a lot of personal development stuff and woo-woo stuff. I do quite like that. So for me, it wasn't uncomfortable necessarily, whereas I know for some people they would find it quite difficult to jot down their thoughts. But I think once you get into the habit, and if you're following a good guide, if you're following a good thing, as I say, like Annie Grace, they help you. They guide you into, you know, I'm just trying to find one of the actual things from Annie Grace. Life is like, this is One Year No Beer. Life is like a golf swing, never perfect, but much to be gained from trying. So I love all that sort of stuff. It really makes me go, so I wrote all that down. So as I say, I've got probably 7 of these books. I very rarely read them. I did before today. But no, if anyone is hesitant to journal, I would say just give it a go. I would say it helps if you're guided with questions to answer. Because I think just to sit down in front of a blank page is really difficult. Well, what should I write today?
So
to find a good book, a good author like William Porter or Annie Grace or One Year No Beer, as it was, I don't know if they're still around. I think that helps.
Yeah.
It sounds like you've put a lot of things in place. Like someone listened, be like, God, that's a lot of things to put in place to remove alcohol from your life. But I'm guessing that you just made that part of your day-to-day life. Did it seem a lot at the beginning?
No, I generally just did it in the morning. It didn't change my life. And some mornings I didn't. When I was following, say, Annie Grace's 30-day the alcohol experiment, I must have tried that 5 times before I got to 30 days and I stopped and started. But it didn't take a lot of time. No, maybe, I don't know, half an hour. I think it's a mindset. It's like losing weight. You know, once you're, you know, or, you know, swimming or cycling, you know, once you get your mindset, and I think one of the things that I put in the book just very quickly is you can't do this for anybody else. You know, your partner, your dog, you have to do it for yourself. And you have to get to that point where you go, I'm ready.
Yeah.
I'm ready now. And that's what it was for me. And that was COVID. So I'm actually quite pleased that COVID came along because it gave me for whatever reason, it helped me focus on.
I'm glad you mentioned that, Sandra. We talked about this on a previous episode about sort of, you know, when is it? Because a lot of people try and slip up, and what you're saying there quite rightly is don't berate yourself. If you trip up, don't berate yourself and just be gentle with yourself, really. I think it's really important. Yeah. But also, it's kind of, it's the same with me. I was a COVID child as well, in that I sort of stopped on the, you know, 29th of May 2020, and thankfully that was me. But I had plenty of blips and trips and slips before that, over decades, you know. So, but what you just said there was just, it was almost just like the stars were aligned, something was right, and I can't tell you what it was, but yeah. I did, you know, like you, 1 year no beer, did the 28 days, went to 90, yeah. And then during the 90, I was thinking, I'm going for the year here. And then once I was on with the year, I was kind of thinking, I could be done with this. But that day one had been preceded by loads of trips and blips, and but something that day just clicked, yeah. And it was like, and I can't tell you what it was. So I think be kind to yourself is, I think, what I'm trying to say is, and don't think, oh, I can't do this, I'm giving up, and you know, just be patient and keep trying.
I think if it's important enough, I suppose it's like anything in life, if it's important enough, when the time is right, it will happen. And I suppose it's just putting the building blocks in place to support you when you do it. So if it's a community or a good book or a good video, or, you know, there's so much stuff on YouTube now, just find a style, a person, a voice, that a podcast that you like. Doesn't irritate, and I listen to a couple and their voices used to really irritate me, so there's no way I was going to listen to them. It's really silly, isn't it? You know,
wasn't us, Kelly, we weren't around then, we're all right.
Wasn't us. Do you know, just when you were talking there, actually, Ian mentioned that you kindly gave your book into the community for members to read, and there's a part in it where you write about the journey, adventure, something along those lines, about looking at, like, you don't know the destination, but just kind of enjoy the adventure and learn along the way. And it's a little bit like that, where you tried lots of different things until you got to the end point.
Yeah, I think, and I, you know, like you, Ian, over the years, I tried loads of times, you know. But I was, and I think if your social life is a lot around alcohol, and I think the Brits, and particularly here, the Brits are heavily into, not heavily, but, you know, it's just part of the social fabric. Everyone drinks. And I suppose the one thing that did help thinking about it is about COVID is, I couldn't go out to socialise. So in a way that helped me, because I was on my own. Whereas before we'd go to the beach or the beach bar 2, 3, 4 times a week. I couldn't do that anymore. So actually from that point of view, it did help. And I could hide the fact I wasn't drinking. But yeah, people are surprised. But I just think you put the building blocks in place, you find a support infrastructure, whatever that may be, whether it is, you know, a podcast or a book or a program. And when you're ready, that will support you through the difficult times, because there are difficult times.
Can we just go back to the book? So the PDF that you've kindly shared with us, and the one that we're going to put in the community for people to help themselves to. So it's called Sip to Sober. I've got that right. Yes. From sip to sober. And the good thing about it is it's almost like it's obviously comes from your personal enjoyment of journaling, because it's almost like a workbook, isn't it?
It's a workbook, yeah.
Yeah. Do you mind just telling us a bit about how you got it off the ground and how it's kind of structured?
I think it's structured as an A to Z, so it's available on all Amazon stores. And I've got a very short attention span. I like sharp, and I like to be able to dip in and out. So when I started writing it, it was almost quite cathartic for me. And I just started writing with the questions that I asked myself. I think this would suit people who are curious still and who have some of the questions. Like one of these, J for journey. I don't want a journey. I don't even want to give up alcohol. I'm just curious. Okay. And then it's going on. And then it's all these lovely words. And then a bit of some questions. And as you say, it's more like a workbook. So that's available on PDF. So it started out really, H is for hangover. I hate having hangovers, so why don't I stop drinking? You know, and those were the sorts of questions I asked myself. Not drinking. Oh, the other one I really like is D is for designated driver. Will I always be the designated driver? And the answer is Yes. Always will be, and that's it. F is for FOMO. What will I be missing out on if I don't drink? And it's that fear of missing. So that's how it started. It was the question. It really was the questions I asked myself. And the sip to sober is mainly because sip, but my initials are sip, S-I-P. So that's how it started. So that was, yeah. And it's light. I think it's fun. It's amusing. M is for midlife. I'm getting on a bit. Is it too late to change? No. So that's it.
Brilliant. But it's now available on PDF. Yeah. Fantastic. So we're going to share that within the community, aren't we, Kelly? And if anyone's listening to this who isn't part of the community but wants to talk to us about it, Sandra, with your permission, we can share it with us as well. Because if they're people who are thinking about stopping but haven't quite stopped, they might not be in the community yet. So again, you know, we're more than happy with Sandra's permission to share that with people as well outside of the community. And yeah, I've had a look through it and I can see exactly that. It's for people who are just kind of want to get somewhere down in writing. They want some points to think, just to get the juices flowing, if you know what I mean, and get themselves thinking about this. So it's absolutely fabulous.
I've given it, a few friends have read it, and I think the thing that has come out of it as well is people say, I didn't realise other people had those questions.
Yeah,
you know, you're not on your own. If you're thinking, will I be bored drinking Coke for the evening, other people have thought that before, you know. And I think it's just knowing that we've all had, I think, similar questions as to why don't we stop. You know, I don't want to, but so why are you thinking about it? Well, because I sort of think I should, you know. Yeah. And so we do the 10,000 steps, and we only eat no red meat, and we have 5 vegetables a day, and we still drink. So it's sort of like a mismatch. So no, but it's fun. It's light. It probably wouldn't work for someone who's deep in addiction, but it would. It's just a light, fluffy touch. I hope I'm not doing it misjustice there, but yeah, it's quite light.
No, I think you've got it right. Yeah.
Yes, I've shared it in the forum, and I've asked that. I've asked for some feedback, Sandra. So I will come back to you on that, because I have shared it in the forum. I shared it in the book club within the forum. So I'll come back to you with feedback on that. When was it you wrote that book then?
I wrote it, I've got it written down, I had to look to September
23.
So it was 2 years in.
Okay.
Because I stopped in 21. And I think at that time, you know, I was fairly comfortable that I'd stopped.
Yeah.
I had had 2 years. And I, you know, I just wrote it for me, really. And then I put it up on Amazon because I had this desire to be an author, to be a published author. Yeah. But it's actually really easy to self-publish on Amazon. And put it up there and sold it mainly to friends. I haven't done any marketing of it.
Is that something you always wanted to do, to be an author?
I think from when I first was very young, I used to want to be a journalist when I was, you know, young. And then I think we spoke just before the podcast, is I think I've certainly become or found my creative side since I stopped drinking. And it may be because I've got more energy, or I haven't got a hangover in the morning, and I've got more ideas. And so I think I said I've written 6 now. They're all short like this. They're all really quick to read. Without a doubt, I'm pretty sure if I'd been drinking, I don't think it would have happened.
Yeah.
I don't think.
And you said that four of the other books are children's books, but then the one that's most recently that you've done is called I Forgot I Was Fabulous, which I think is an ace title. How did that come about, Sandra? What's that?
Same sort of thing, really. It's last year, was it? I think I had a couple of months where I was just a bit flat, you know, a bit not depressed, you know, but just like, oh, God, you know, a bit. And so I started writing down some pick-me-ups, things for me, and that came into the book, that I Forgot I Was Fabulous, you know, that we can forget that, you know. And it's aimed primarily at women over 50. So both of you are probably out of that reach, but I'm way over that.
I am.
so that's how that came about, I Forgot I Was Fabulous. And, again, I haven't done too much marketing on it, but I like the book. It's fun. It's light. It's humorous. I enjoy it.
Yeah, brilliant, excellent. So tell us a bit about, obviously, we see you now, and you're sort of you're probably confident, relaxed, bright, all the rest of it. What was the Sandra like that you know, that what was your personality like, Sandra, before you decided to stop drinking? Were you, can you remember, can you compare yourself, if you know what I mean? Are you able to do that?
I don't know, really. I think personally, I feel more comfortable and confident in myself because I've thought through all the reasons why I was drinking and what it gave me. So I think I actually think I probably would have appeared the similar, but inside I feel stronger and I feel more comfortable in myself and more confident. And I think when I look back, as I say, using the journaling, which did help me, what did alcohol give me? What was it giving me? And it was, you know, it was that pretend boost of confidence, and it made me think I was funny, and it made me relax because I'm generally quite quiet and shy in a big group. So it made me relax and say stupid things, definitely do that, and fall over quite a few times as well. But I think outwardly I probably would appear similar, but in myself I'm much more confident and comfortable. Yeah. Is probably the word, comfortable.
Yeah. And you said that you've got more energy as well. You sort of find you just got a lot more passion and drive for things.
Yeah. I mean, I used to, I haven't done it. I get up early. I'm an early bird anyway, but because I'm retired, it would be really easy just to, you know, do nothing. I haven't got enough energy to cycle, run or swim. But unfortunately, I'm working up to that. I think when I'm about 10 years AF, I'll be all right. I walk the dog once a day. And I keep on saying, I listen to you saying, oh, I went with my wife and we cycled and we swam and we ran. I think, God, I don't do any of that. So I haven't got my energy from there, but my brain energy is huge. So I've got loads of that. I definitely got more energy, yeah. And I think the creativity, without a doubt, has increased substantially, without a doubt.
I was just going to ask about the creativity. Is that something that you always had in you, like when you were younger? Because we talk a lot about people when they remove alcohol from their life, they start to find old hobbies that they used to enjoy, or parts of them that they'd completely lost or didn't know were there. Is that the way you feel about your creativity?
I think so. I mean, I think when I was young, when I was a young kid, I used to write little stories. But I would never have said I was a writer. And then with my work, I used to write courses and training programs with activities. So I suppose that was creative. But I'd never written, I'd never journaled, I'd never written a story. I still don't think I have it in me to write a novel. You know, I belong to a couple of writing groups now, and my books have got, like, you know, 2,000 words in them, and these people are writing 150,000 words, and I'm thinking, oh, my God, there's no way I can do that.
Never say never. Never say never, Sandra.
My sister said to me, why don't you write a novel? And I said, because I don't have the attention span. I really don't. Short stories are okay. So I think the creativity possibly was there, and I think with alcohol numbing you, you just get the basics done. You live, you earn money, you eat, you drink. I don't think for me it allowed me any space to be as creative as I've become.
Mm-hmm. How do you feel in your alcohol-free life now? Is there any times where you feel tempted to go back to drinking, or are you completely strong in that now?
No, but there have been a couple of times where I've sort of thought, because we used to go on the Zoom calls, I have felt recently, a couple of times now, because I'm the only one not drinking still, yeah. I still find that I get bored after drinking alcohol-free beer, a couple of beers and some water. So I do still struggle to find people who don't drink in a forum. But no, I think I've never been tempted. Now and again, I suppose, the thing about here in Spain, if you do a cheers, everybody has to have a glass. So I have sipped, you know, I haven't had more than that, but I haven't been tempted. We had a wine tasting here in one of the places here, and I've got it in the book actually, and I was invited, and then, I don't know, 10 minutes later, someone who is a friend said to me, oh, no, you don't drink, you can't come. We'll take that. And it was like, oh, okay. It was with wine tasting. You're not supposed to swallow it anyway. You're supposed to, you know, just taste it. So, no, I haven't. No, I'm lucky I haven't. No.
Mm-hmm. Do you ever think about how sort of bizarre it is when you're just talking there about sort of, you know, events you can't turn up to and how everybody's drinking and how it's just so, you know, society's just so racked up in drinking, isn't it? And now you're out of it, Sandra, for so long. Do you ever look back and think, this is bonkers? It's
Yeah,
like a,
I wish I'd done it earlier, without a doubt. And I think anyone who stopped probably wishes they'd done it earlier. I mean, I knew when from when I was 40, I knew that I was drinking too much. But you just enjoy it, and you get in the energy, and everyone's doing it, and yeah, another one, yeah. And you think, why did I fall over? Oh, it's because you drank too much. And everyone laughs, and it's all accepted. And oh, I've got a hangover, and everyone enjoys the fact they've all got a hangover. How bad did you feel? Yeah, I felt really bad. And I used to, and I used to be like that. I have to be careful sometimes, I have to be honest. I have to be careful not to be judgmental, because I sit there, my arms folded, and my alcohol-free beer, looking around. That's the fourth glass of wine, she's had. I have to be really careful. But we're all adults. We all make choices.
I'm the same. I can be a bit judgy sometimes, and I've got to be careful and sort of like, you know, remind myself that that was me till, you know, I'm 54. It's only six years that I've not been drinking. You know, I was drinking for decades before that. So, you know, I've got to be careful that, you know, I don't get too preachy.
I mean, I'm 69 now, so I was drinking a long time. I enjoyed it when I, except for when I didn't. And when I didn't enjoy it, I hated it. I hated the hold it had over me. And then the other thing I think is that when you slip up, you do beat yourself up. You do say, well, why can't I stop? What's wrong with me? Why can't I stop? And that up and down help, that journey that you have with alcohol. I'm not going to buy any alcohol. Oh, I'll just have one glass of wine and one glass of water. Oh, I'll have a spritzer. That's all gone. And I remember Shaz saying that on one of the OTI things was that, you go to the supermarket, you don't even think about going down the alcohol aisle. It's lovely. You go down the milk aisle and you look at all the different milks they've got instead. It's really boring. Oat milk or soya milk?
How does your social life look now, Sandra? Because you mentioned there about kind of not being invited to that wine tasting. I know that was a while ago, but how does your social life look now compared to before?
Well, there's less Brits here at the moment anyway because of Brexit. A lot of people went back because of that. So there are less people out drinking, whereas before you could always I could go down there now and there'd be, I don't know, 8 or 10 Brits and Germans all having a drink. So that group has diminished. It's less in that it's not that the opportunities isn't there, but I probably get bored with drinking for 4 hours alcohol-free beer, or Coke or water. And you can, and again, this is where you have to be careful about being judgmental, because you can see the effect of alcohol on people. And I step away from it. So my social life is definitely different. I probably go out about the same, but don't stay out as long. I come home earlier. And then you do try and find other people who don't. A lot of Spanish don't drink. So I have a few Spanish friends who, when they go out, they'll have one alcohol-free beer or one glass of wine, and that's it. And that's it, that's fine. But yeah, it's different. It's very different. I'd probably say it's quieter. It's quieter. I don't jump up and down on tables anymore.
How did you navigate it in the beginning when there was more Brits there? Well, obviously it was COVID, but when COVID kind of opened
Yeah,
and everything opened back up, how did you navigate it then?
I think you just accept that you're the odd one out. I think you do feel the odd one out. And again, I think you don't stay out as late as perhaps you used to. You leave people there, at 10 o'clock and they're just going on. It wasn't easy. But eventually people then just say, oh, do you want an alcohol-free beer or water? But for the first few months, I think probably, and even friends would say, oh, go on, just have one, and a few times, oh, don't be so boring. And I was lucky, I had enough strength at that time to say, no, I'm all right, I'm okay. Whereas before, when I've slipped up, it's because friends have said to me, oh, have a drink, go on. And sometimes just to shut them up, you just have a drink because it's just easier.
Yeah, we've got some people in the community at the moment, and one of the regular themes has been people who felt a little bit flat because they've got to see a certain period of being alcohol free, and they feel like they've got it under control, but then life gets a little bit flat and it hasn't got those ups and downs that you kind of, you mentioned there. And I think you can almost sort of reminisce and think, oh, they were good times, they were
good, you know,
the good old days. And it's quite easy to think, to go back into that sort of frame of mind. And that's, I think that's where a community comes into its own, because then there's a lot of people who kind of rally around them and remind them what it was actually really like. And then they almost like, they come around and yeah, it actually, yeah, that makes sense. Flat. I do remember that now. Yeah, but.
No, it can feel flat. And I think because you're so used to the high of the alcohol, you don't have that high from a Coke, you know, it's, and you're watching other people become more and more relaxed and more, you know, louder. And yeah. And I think what some people do, and I probably did myself, you don't go out. You limit your time socialising because you struggle with that feeling. So I think it can be quite isolating initially. Either you feel that you don't want to risk going out to have a drink, or when you go out, you feel flat and you feel left out. I think you're right, that plateau bit, I think that's the dangerous time, when you've stopped it for a while and you know you can, but you still want what it gave you, you know, that freedom, that perception of freedom, that, hey, life's so wonderful. Or if you drink gin, oh, life's not so wonderful, it's really bad. I think that's a difficult time. And I think community, without a doubt, helped me, without a doubt.
Yeah.
I think definitely, like, talking on the Zooms and sharing is, because it's just so easy to get pulled into that, as you say, reminiscing about the good times. I was talking on Zoom the other night, actually, and I had looked back on a video from a few years ago, and I'm singing and I've got all my glad rags on and I'm singing and I look like I'm having a great time. And I looked at it and thought, oh my God, I remember how I feel after that night. But I know there's been times where I'd have looked at that photo, that video, and been like, oh wow, that was a great night. Oh, I want to do that again. Yeah. And it's like, if you let those thoughts into your head, then you're going down a slippery slope. And I think connecting with people who are feeling the same, and that you can chat to about it, is so powerful.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, as I say, with OTR, one of the times when I felt quite isolated, and I came on a Zoom call with Shaz and a few other people, and they had experienced it as well, and that did help.
Yeah.
And I think she'd had a friend that had dropped her or something. Can't remember the details. And people drop you because you don't fit the norm anymore. You're different. Mm-hmm. And then you just have to say, well, you know, if they're going to drop me because of that, they weren't good friends. You know.
Yeah. The other thing as well, Sandra, is that life's always changing, isn't it? And we don't have to, you know, I imagine a lot of the people you've described there who are probably still doing the same thing, still going for the same drink, still sort of going out at the same time, still speaking the same stories. It's all gets a bit repetitive and boring, doesn't it? But like, life's changing all the time, isn't it? We're allowed to change. We're allowed to explore new avenues, aren't we?
Maybe when you're drinking, you don't see the opportunities that there are and the possibilities, because you're in that glass of wine, which is lovely, and it makes me feel comfortable and I love it, and, you know, I'm not going to let go of it. And you miss all the opportunities that are out there, that, you know, like the ceramics I do, or the writing, or the running, or, you know, people take up running, or they like with OTR, you'd always go to the top of some mountain or something, really silly things like that.
Yeah.
Because you find the energy and the drive and the interest that perhaps when you've got a bottle of wine in front of you, those possibilities.
Yeah, I'll be honest, I talk about going to the pub for drinks now. I personally think it's pointless to go and sit in a pub, and if I treat it like I'm going to a cafe to have a coffee, then yeah, great, one two drinks, brilliant, job done. But to go out for a night out and sit from whatever time to whatever time drinking non-alcoholic drinks, to me, is pointless. And if people think I'm boring because I don't like to do that, I just think, well, your definition of boring is based on sitting there drinking, talking, what becomes progressive nonsense, basically.
And also, I
do other things instead now that I don't think are boring, and I enjoy, you know, these things, and these are my hobbies, like you're saying about your ceramics and your sort of other things that you do. It's, life just opens up, doesn't it?
It does, and I think you realise that when you're drinking, you talk about the same load of rubbish every time anyway, because what else, you know, because your life, it's not true to say your life revolves around alcohol, it doesn't. But when you're in a group and everyone's drinking, yeah, God knows what you talk about. I used to, you know, I talked a load of rubbish in my life, you know. But, you know, it's, and I agree with you that I don't want to go out and just have a drink, you know. Here is different in a way because you're on the beach, it's a lovely sunset. But after a couple of hours, I'm ready to go home, you know.
Yeah.
And I do. I am the one who always leaves first. And I did think a few weeks ago, funny enough, you should say, you think, am I boring because I want to leave? And then you have to think, well, no, because I don't want to do that anymore. You know, whereas before, I'd be drinking till they threw us out.
No. Yeah. It's only the drink that keeps people there beyond the sensible time that anyone would ordinarily fit in that environment.
I think it definitely... I do still think not drinking, because there are fewer of us, although there are more people now, I think you are in the minority. I don't know what it's like in the UK now, but, you know, people, the Brits here I'm talking about, still drink. The Spanish drink, but they're not as heavy, and they drink as part of the meal.
And
they don't, one thing the Spanish don't, particularly as they our age group, they don't go out for a drink. That isn't, you know, they might go out for a meal with a drink. They wouldn't go down the pub like we used to do and just get slack, you know. It's different. Life changes, doesn't it?
And it's different.
You have different priorities and different perspectives.
I saw on the news the other day there was talking about the death of the traditional British pub and how, you know, trying to encourage people to go to the pub more and sort of spend more time in the pub. And I'm thinking, I don't want to say, I mean, there is a place for pubs, but is there a place for all the pubs that still do the same thing, which is basically just around going and sitting and drinking? And, you know, those pubs need to adapt, don't they? Rather than try and get people in to keep doing the old things that pubs used to do, pubs have got to become more of a, they've got to be more than just a pub. Yes, they can serve drink, but they've got to be able to do lots of other things as well. And I think, you know, it's not just a case of getting people back into the pubs to drink more beer. That's,
the thing is, as well, my opinion on this as well is the pubs are quieter now because people are so used to drinking at home because it's so accessible. It's in the supermarkets, it's in the petrol stations, it's in, you can get it delivered to your door. So people are like, well, it's cheaper, I don't have to get dressed up or wash my face or anything. That's the problem. The problem is when they opened up alcohol to be delivered and supplied everywhere. That's, I would say that's when the pubs got quiet, and I would say that's kind of caused alcoholism, addiction, problematic drinking to increase, would be my opinion on that.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it's just too easy. And, like, you know, I remember, I mean, here, for example, you can get a really good bottle of wine for €2, you know, a nice bottle. And Carver, you can get for £2.50. So you could actually, you could be drunk for €2, you know. So it's so easy, and it's in the supermarkets. You know, so, but I have to say, most of the culture here, apart from the Brits, is people don't generally drink at home like we do. But I mean, in the UK, and when I was here, I drank at home. It was, as you say, you know, you don't have to get dressed up. You can sit in front of the television. Nobody knows. You know, you fell asleep and, you know, watching TV.
Yes.
I think that the good idea with the pubs is community. I think the pubs used to be a good community.
Yeah, and I can see that. I can see there being a future for local pubs, as long as they water it down a bit, if you know what I mean. It isn't just about the drinking; it's about more the social side of it. And, you know, and there is a move more towards alcohol-free beers, or people just going there and not drinking and stuff. And so, I think hopefully there is a future for the best pubs. But I think you're right, Kelly. I think almost as well. I think it's gone the other way, and it's almost drinking's, once it's gone underground, but it's easier just to sort of.
Nobody knows how much you drink at home.
Yeah.
You've got no checks and balances. There's nobody saying, are you sure you want another drink? You know, because you're, even if you're as part of a, I mean, the one thing that's changed here is when I first stopped drinking, there was hardly any alcohol-free beer or wine. Not so much wine, but there's a load now. I don't know, it must be the same in the UK. Really good selection of alcohol-free beer.
I think it's a common theme on the Zooms quite a lot, actually, when people start to open up, that they say that their drinking kind of increases, started to become problematic when they were leaving the pub and buying a bottle of wine to go home.
Yeah.
Like, it was like having the few beers in the pub was, it was all good and dandy. It was when they started then taking alcohol home, that's when it became more of a problem. It seems
it's, to almost, it's almost like you don't want to stop because it has that hold on you. It's addiction, isn't it? You know.
Yeah.
So no, it's the best thing I ever did was to stop drinking, and that's something I done it earlier. But, so how old was when I stopped? I mean, I was 64 when I stopped, so I'd been drinking for nearly 40 years.
Yeah. And of all the people I know, and you know where they were when they stopped drinking, that's probably towards the older end, Sandra, if you don't mind me saying. But it just goes to show, doesn't it, that actually it's never too late, is it? You know, M for midlife in your PDF is, you know, is a really good point. It's never too late, and you should never think, oh, you know, this is me now. Yeah,
and it's like, I suppose, I mean, I've never smoked, but it's like smokers saying, oh, well, I'm old now, I might as well, you know, if I've done any damage, I might as well just continue smoking till I drop dead. But, you know, you've still got life in those old bones, and it's that quality of life, isn't it? It's what does it give you, you know?
Yeah,
I probably am on the older end, on the older side of things.
And you're proof that it doesn't matter what age you are, it's never too late. I mean, 5 years alcohol free, 5 books. I mean, that just proves it. And you look amazing as well. It just proves that it's never too late to achieve things in life.
No, I really, and I have to say, just to, you know, that the recent book, I Forgot I Was Fabulous, it's exactly the same thing for women. It's not too late. Just because you're 50 or 60 or 70, it really isn't too late. And I think, as we all know, it's up here. It's getting this head sorted to say, I'm ready to stop drinking, or I'm ready to think I'm brilliant, or I'm ready to write a book. Or it's, you have to do it. And that's the other thing. You have to do it for yourself.
Yeah.
I think you can turn it around the other way as well, Sandra. And actually, you know, I stopped when I was 49. And actually, it means more to me because there's less time left, if you know what I mean. So I'm thinking to myself, I want to make the most of this. It's precious. Whereas if I'd stopped when I was in my 20s or 30s, you'd think, yeah, and I drank until then, but then I just didn't, and off you go. So no, it means so much more now.
Yeah, and I think as I got older, I did it before I was 65. It was, there is the question, is it worth it? But then it's like, my life is so precious now, you know, and I want to enjoy it. I don't want to wake up with a hangover, you know. I don't want to lie on the sofa all day on Sunday feeling bad. You know, why do we do that?
Really,
you know what we do.
Yeah, brilliant, Sandra. Thank you so much. It's been a lovely chat tonight. Really laid back and just casual, if you know what I mean. Which is how we'd hoped it would be. So thank you very much, and thank you also for getting in touch to sort of share the PDF. It's really kind.
Yeah,
you're welcome. I hope if anyone uses it, that it's useful. That's
it will. They will, I'm sure they will. And like I say, if you don't mind, if anyone's listening to this who isn't part of the community but wants a copy of that, if you don't mind, with your blessing, Sandra, we can share that with them. So it's something for them to then just use as a mindful tool, just to, you know, it might be when you're still drinking, but if it's, you've printed it out or you've got it there and you're looking at it, it's a step in the right direction, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think what happens because of the design, there are some letters that will resonate more than others. You know, like the midlife thing, for example, whereas maybe another letter won't, you know. But, so just look through it, choose which one really resonates, print a couple of pages off, look at the journal pages, and be kind to yourself, because it isn't easy, you know.
No, it's not.
But it's worth it.
Yeah. And thank you so much, Sandra. It's been so nice to see you again after all these years. And to hear what you've done and what you've achieved in those 5 years is just, it's just brilliant. So thanks very much.
Thank you.
Okay. And if you are feeling that you're missing a community of mates, so get it.
Yeah.
You know where we are. You know we're here. So lovely to see you in the community.
I hope it goes well. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you.
It's needed. Just getting the word out.
Yeah, well, we're getting there, aren't we, Kelly? Listenership's up, isn't it? You keep telling me that.
Not bad. Yeah, I listened to the first episode today. That's me. Like, I don't usually listen to it, but I listened to one today. So it's not bad. It's not bad.
And also, you know, it's like with the all the books that I've got. If it helps one or two people, it's done the job.
Yeah. This is it. Exactly, Sandra. Exactly. Yeah.
I wrote on my wall here when I was writing the book, because I got a bit low because I wasn't selling anything, and I wrote here for the book, 10 women 10 smiles, one ripple. And yeah. that's what you're doing. It's just the ripple.
Yeah, I love that.
You know, you'll help other people. Yeah.
Yeah. I've got a friend, I'll just quickly say this. So I've got a friend who I know from outside of the community, who I know through work, who listens, and he regularly rings me and gives me feedback on all the episodes, Kelly. And he's very complimentary, and he's not the sort of guy you would just say just to, because he thinks he's what I want to hear. He'd be honest. So I think we're doing something right. So let's keep telling ourselves that,
yeah,
Kelly.
Exactly.
You're not just talking into the ether where there's nobody out there.
Yeah.
No. Well, you know, I think if, like you say, if there's just a couple of people listening, going, do you know what? They might not come and join Alcohol Uncensored. That doesn't matter. But if it gets them thinking in the right way, then that's great. Yeah,
it's definitely that energy that you're putting out there. That it, you know, it is supportive and helpful, and that energy, that all that woo woo stuff. You know, it really helps.
Yeah. Have a guess how much it is a month, Sandra? Have a guess how much?
But your community
to be part of the community.
Well, OTI. How much was OTI? OTI was it 200 a year?
Yeah, it's just, we're £20 a month. I think it was more than that. I think it was 250 OTI, but it was £20 a month, which I think is absolutely cheap as chips.
You're going into your sales mode now.
I am. Can you tell? Can you tell we're wrapping it up and we're bringing it to an end? It's cheap as chips. It's £20 a month. Yeah. And if you don't like it, you can leave and there'll be no subscriptions. So you're 20 quid down the price of two bottles of cheap wine. Or four bottles probably over there, Sandra.
And we also spoke a lot about Zooms there and how beneficial they are. And if there's anyone out there that wants to try our Zooms to kind of get a feel for what they're like, because it can be a bit nerve-wracking, then just get in touch and we can get you on one of our community Zooms. Or you can just chat to me and Ian and get a feel for what it's like. We are always happy to do that as well.
Yeah. And it is team@alcoholuncensored.co.uk.
Correct. Well done.
See, I do listen.
Yeah, you do.
Right.
Thanks very much, Sandra. Thanks, Ian.
Sandra, lovely to see you.
Bye.